Let's see what the Rambam says here in Perek Gimel Halacha Hey.
Yeah, okay.
Tchilas dino shel adam. Eino nidon ela al ha-talmud. Interesting. The first issue that's going to come up in the heavenly court after 120 years is the Talmud, meaning how have we done as far as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is concerned. V'acharkach, and then later they'll investigate Shar Masov, the rest of his actions and his mitzvahs and so forth. Lefichach. Again, whenever you see the word lefichach in the Rambam, you know, it has to send up your tentacles and you have to start analyzing. Amru chacham. Li'olam yasok odom b'torah. Now here there are two versions of the Rambam. In the printed version, it says, instead of the word afilu, it says bein lishma, bein shalol lishma. In the Ksav Yad, the manuscript editions of the Rambam, it says afilu shalol lishma. And essentially, both are the same. At first glance, I only see a difference in style. And the point is that you should dedicate yourself to Torah and its study, even shalol lishma. Shemitoch shalol lishma, bol lishma. Now, we're going to need to analyze this on two levels. First of all, this halacha of mitoch shalol lishma, bol lishma, what does it mean? Is it a special halacha in Torah? What would you say about mitzvah shalol lishma? Would it apply to mitzvahs? And secondly, on a second level, how does the Sefer link up to the Reisha? The Rambam has lefichach as the chain, you know, the link in the chain that integrates both the Reisha and the Sefer into one entity. And somehow the fact that Tchilas Dino Shel Adam is Al Talmud, therefore one should be Osek B'Torah Afil Shalol Lishma. What does that mean? So we're going to start with the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Memav Beis. Omar Av Hamnuna Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Ela Al Divrei Torah. This seems to be a clear cut source to support the Rama. Shenemar Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. Rav Hamnuna bases himself on a pasuk in Mishle, and let's try to figure out what the pasuk in Mishle means based on Rashi's commentary in Kiddushin. Rashi says Tchilas Dino Liyom Hadin, when it comes to the day of judgment, Tchilas Tvios, the beginning process of, let's say, call it prosecution against us, Sha'ol against the person, Mipnei Malo Asakta V'Torah. Now this is a pretty scary thing. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, I try to say Shiurim here in the city and get as many people as possible, and sometimes I'm a little disappointed. My expectations are greater than the reality is. Other people are going to other Shiurim, so that's okay, or they're learning B'Chavrusa, I don't mind. But some people are, Chas Shom, not learning anywhere. So you want to mention to them that when they get up to the pearly gates, this is going to be the first issue they'll have to defend themselves on. Mipnei malo asakta b'torah. Now Rashi gets into the pasuk in Mishle. He says, poter mayim. What does this pasuk about poter mayim have to do with tchilas dino shel adam al Torah, al divrei Torah? Says Rashi, Haporek ol Torah, a person who takes, he casts off of his shoulders the yoke of Torah, of the study of Torah. Reishis Madon, the word Madon, says Rashi, refers to the word din, and Reishis means the beginning of the din. So Ein Mayim el Torah, Poter Mayim means he, so to speak, chucks away the water. He lets it flow in another direction without collecting it. So he's not collecting the Torah. How do we know that Mayim refers to the Torah symbolically? Because the pasuk in Tanakh says, "Have you called Samei l'chula Mayim?" A thirsty person goes to water means a person is thirsty for spirituality, for intellectual understanding of God's wisdom. He should draw himself, he should gravitate to the water, meaning the waters of Torah. So there are three elements in this drasha, in this pasuk. Number one is the word mayim. Number two is the word madon. Mayim refers to Torah. Poter means he's porek ol Torah me'olav, by sending the water and diverging in a different direction.
because the word Azariah doesn't come up in Tanakh very often, except in a it's not in a,
yeah, in Sefer Daniel.
No, it's in the, he wasn't another name for the Uzziahu, wasn't it?
That I don't remember.
King Uzziahu was also.
Yeah, see if you can look it up. So again, so poter mayim, which means he lets the water go. In this case, he's poreik old Torah.
So that he's pouring out. He's pouring it out.
Yeah, he's pouring it out. He's like wasting it away. He's diverging the waters instead of taking them into his field. He's sending them away. And Rashis Madon, that's going to be the beginning of his judgment. Now the Rambam says, "We olam yasok onam b'Torah." And the case of Mishlech and Mishnah send us to Psachim Daf Nun Amid Beis. Rava asks a question. One pasuk in Tilim indicates that Gadol Ad Shamayim Chazdecha, meaning the Chesed of Hashem reaches till Shamayim, but not beyond. There's another pasuk that says Ki Gadol Me'al Shamayim Chazdecha. Me'al means it extends beyond. Okay, so how do we reconcile this? Kan be osin lishma. If a person does mitzvos lishma, then the chesed that Hashem bestows upon him is even greater than Shamayim. The kan, the other pasuk, the first one, is shalo lishma, and therefore it's only up to Shamayim but not beyond. And this supports the principle of Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, we olam yasok adam b'torah uvim mitzvos. This is very important. You might want to underline this. I don't have my pen here to offer you, that the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Marav indicates that both Torah and mitzvos are included in this principle of shalo lishma. Afal pi shalo lishma, even though he's doing it shalo lishma, shemito shalo lishma, bo lishma. So a person can pursue mitzvos for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they're beneficial for him, they may even add to his status and so forth, his kavod. But that's called shalo lishma. You might think, let's discourage him from even doing such a mitzvah, better that he doesn't do it at all. And the answer is, on the contrary, let him start at that level. You have children who do mitzvahs for very, very selfish reasons sometimes, but let's encourage them to do so.
Is source the prime source? Because that's a famous statement that we see all over. Is that the where it's pulled? Is that the source of it?
Well, that's one source. That's the Gemara in Psachim, and then there's another Gemara in Sota. Do you see the Gemara in Sota? It's at the end of paragraph Vial.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, "Ha'omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, li olam yasok adam b'Torah uvemitzvos, the afal pi shalo lishma, shemito shalo lishma, bo lishma." In the case of the Gemara in Sota, the quote of Rabbi Yehuda Marav adds a proof text from the parsha of Balak Melech Moav, who brought 42 karbanos and was rewarded because amongst his descendants was Rus, the mother of Mashiach. Right. Now, the Rambam writes Lefichach, and the Mefarshim ask, what is the connection between the Reisha and the Sefer? The Reisha establishing that the beginning of one's judgment in the heavenly courts is on Torah, and the end of the Rambam, which is that one should dedicate himself to Torah study even if shalo lishma. What's the connection between the two? Ma inyan zeh lo zeh. Now, according to the Rambam's reasoning, that mito shalo lishma bo lishma, and that's the reason why a person should learn Torah if need be, even shalo lishma, because it will eventually lead to lishma. So then, even if I didn't have Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Talmud, I didn't have the Reisha, the Seifa stands independent. A person should learn and dedicate himself to Torah, even in Shalol Lishma, because eventually he'll reach the level of Lishma. What difference does it make if Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Eino Ela Al Talmud? Furthermore, the question arises, on the Din of Li'olam Yasok Adam B'Torah Fi Shalol Lishma, why do we need any reason for this? A person is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and the mitzvah itself generates a chiyuv. So what difference does it make whether he does it lishma or he doesn't do it lishma? In both cases, he fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, albeit on a different level. If it's shalo lishma, it's on an inferior level, but he's obligated in any event to study Torah. So again, he'll miss a major chunk, an enhancement to the mitzvah of Lishma, but nevertheless, he still grabs on to the basic mitzvah. Now, I would like to take a stab at this Rambam and suggest the following pshat. The Rambam doesn't mean to teach us that even limud shelo lishma it constitutes a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's simple. But rather, the Rambam is addressing the following scenario. Supposing a person feels about himself that he'll never be able to have the real, pure kavanah lishma in Talmud Torah. Now, if he has kavanah for his limud shelo lishma, that's not the right way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Rambam emphasizes that in Hilchos Tshuva in the 10th Perek. And let's read the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. You'll see it on the third line of the paragraph. Al yomar odom areni osa mitzvahs ha-Torah, mitzvos ha-Torah, v'osek b'chachmasa, k'desha kabel ha-brachos, ha-ksuvus b'Torah. I'm motivated in order to achieve the benefits, the blessings that God in the Torah has promised me. O Kadesha Ezkel Chayim Abba, to guarantee myself a place in the world to come. O Kadesha Lo Ekores Michay Olam Abba, I shouldn't be cut off from the world to come. Ein Ro'ui Lavodes Hashem Al Derech Zeh. The Rambam seems to negate that approach to service of Hashem, and therefore one would think, in the light of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that a person who fits this category of learning Shelo Lishma, and at this point he cannot achieve the greater level of Lishma, maybe we should discourage him from studying the Torah. And therefore, we don't say, Ein lecha mitzvah, as the Rambam says earlier in Perek Gimel Halacha Daled, Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvos kulam she'ishkula keneged Talmud Torah. L'fichach ha-Talmud kodim l'maaseh b'chol mokom. That Talmud Torah is as significant, if you put it on a scale, as all the other mitzvahs combined. But rather we should say to such a person, you know what? Maybe instead of dedicating your time to the study of Torah, dedicate your time to the performance of mitzvahs. Because your Torah cannot be classified as shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. Why? Because it's shelo lishma. That's not the derech ha-re'uya as the Rambam describes it in Hilchos Tshuva. So you have different people. You have one person dedicates himself to Torah, another person dedicates himself to mitzvahs, to chesed. What do you tell a person? Where should he turn? How should he put his emphasis in life? And the answer might be the following. If he's lishma, then we want Talmud Torah. But if he's shelo lishma, and that's not the real way, let's send him down a different path. Let's tell him to dedicate himself to mitzvahs.
How are you supposed to know?
Whether you have lishma or not?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the litmus test will be, if that's what you're asking, Ira, but I would say the following. You have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, if nobody saw you learning and nobody paid any attention to you, would you still be motivated to learn? Are you learning for the sake of love of learning? You need it, you cherish it, you crave it, or there are exterior motives?
There's in betweens though to a lot of these.
Speak a little louder.
There's in betweens because you might not.
It's a lot of gray area. You mean in
you
the
might
middle.
Not be so enthralled and cherish and love it, but you might do it because you feel you have a duty to do it. But you would still do it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
so that I would say is another darg of lishma.
Yeah, it's a darg.
But if you're doing it more because you're motivated for kavod, you know, you want to get honor and you want to get recognition, they put you off mizrach, you know, they give you shlishi and shishi and all this stuff, or they help you publish your book, you know, something like that. That would be shalom lishma.
Let's do me a favor, please.
Okay.
Anyway, the other thing is also the all or nothing here is also bothersome because even somebody who. And I, you know, you're talking about how to orient your life. Some people will be oriented more towards Torah. Some people will be oriented more towards Chesed. The people who are oriented totally towards Torah, I think, don't they have to find some time for Chesed? And the people who are all Chesed, if they don't have a little bit of Torah, they're going to be lost also. It's there's you.
Well,
you, can't,
you know, when you go through the history, Gerald, of the Chachmei Yisrael, you find something very interesting. Rava, for example, who's a good buddy of Abaye, dedicated himself totally to Torah study. Abaye, on the other hand, never did a chesed. Yeah, I don't know what that means, but you know, he probably had occasion to do chesed, but he basically dedicated himself to Torah to the exclusion of chesed. Abaye, on the other hand, juggled both. And the Gemara says in Sota that as a result, God gave Abaye, you know, both Abaye and Rava came from Beis Eli. They were descendants of Eli, and the curse was that they would die very young. Rava died at the age of 40. It's mind-boggling. I mean, there's no... I don't know if you can learn a sugya in Shas without Rava. You know, Rava is up front, and he died at the age of 40.
They're both up there.
Yeah, Abaye died at the age of 60. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an extra 20 years of his life because as a reward for his chesed. Uh-huh. So the Chofetz Chaim Zichron Levracha says that if you calculate, let's say Abaye was meant to have 40 years, just like Rav, because he was from Beis Eli, but he dedicated half of those years to chesed. So he was minus 20 years of Torah study, so God gave him back an extra 20 years. That's the Chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim. But you find throughout Chazal that there were those who dedicated themselves exclusively to Torah. Ben Azai, for example, he didn't even get married. He didn't have a family life.
But it's not somebody. But Ben Azai isn't somebody to look up to as an example.
So it's interesting. The Rambam seems to indicate not here in Talmud Torah, but more in Hilchos Ishus, that there is such a method, you know, an acceptable misgeret, framework of following in the footsteps of Ben Azai. But again, these are discussions that we'll get to. Well, I shouldn't say we'll get to. I mean, they're all here at the end of the perek. I don't know within the time frame that we have if we'll get to them. But these are issues. But where should you put your emphasis?
Yeah, the emphasis.
Maybe we should de-emphasize Torah study if we're learning Shalol Lishva. This guy is interested in motive. You know, he's got ulterior motives. Let's discourage him. Let's say, look, you want to be a fine yid? Leave Torah for others, those who can really learn it on the level of the Shmo. Let's push this individual to the direction of chesed and mitzvahs.
Doesn't that contradict?
I'm just explaining what the Rambam is trying to exclude, the Havamina. See, you see inside. Kamashbal on a Rambam, this was all the Salkadaita Chamina. Again, if you had a pencil, I would tell you to emphasize on line 5 of this paragraph. You see the words, you see the Reshi Tevis Samath Dalet Aleph. No, this is just a Havamina, but Kamashmalon, if you could underline those letters, Haramam, the Afal Gav, the Einzu Mitzvah Ru'uya, certainly this is not the choice way of doing the mitzvah, because he has ulterior motives and gains and benefits, Mikomakom, even though he doesn't have the proper, suitable motivation in his mitzvah, nevertheless, Yeshal Lasak B'Torah. He should not drop the ball on Limud Torah, even though it's Shalol Lishma. And why? Here's what I wanted to suggest, and you're the jury, but that's why the Rambam links this up with the ratio of Tchilas Dino Shalom Ala Torah. Because when the person is judged for Torah, and the question is, the prosecution says to him, well, why didn't you dedicate more time to the study of Torah? So what's his answer going to be? He's going to say that, just 1 second. V'im yiton v'dino. You have that inside? Tainas p'tur. T'lo lomen es ha'osir v'es ha'chayov. V'omer mutar karv li'ones. Lo yikablu es ta'noso di'adenu k'meizet al shohil olumo v'lo lomat. V'es chayov v'din.
This is saying what I'm saying, that there has to be some Torah anyway, because otherwise you're not going to know what to do.
Correct. And therefore, if a person says, I didn't do mitzvahs properly, and I wasn't careful about that which is prohibited and that which I was obligated to do, I thought that this was permissible when it's not, and therefore you can judge me as an ones, you know, these are circumstances beyond my, I was ignorant of the law, I plead the fifth, as we say in the United States. All these arguments are going to be totally rejected. Why? He is considered amazed, because he should have dedicated himself to study. So the key to survive, you know, the slings and arrows of judgment is going to be the study of Torah. And all the excuses for not having learned Torah, and therefore I was a shogeg, you know, I didn't know, I was ignorant, those aren't going to hold water. They're not going to be acceptable. Therefore, even if he's not motivated by the proper reasoning, he better get himself down, glue himself down and study Torah, so that he know to differentiate between the Asur and the Mutter, the Chayev and the Potter, and he'll prevent himself from any Avera, and therefore he'll merit in a positive way in judgment. And not only that, says the Rambam, once he gets involved in the study of Torah on this lower level, that lower level of Torah study will eventually bring him to the higher level of Torah Lishma.
Right.
That's one approach that I want to suggest.
Does the Chafetz Chaim say this?
I don't know. Have you seen this in the Chafetz Chaim?
No, I thought something similar about Gamal to the Mishnah, where he says that it's no excuse not to know the halachas. No?
Oh, really? That makes sense. But again, I don't know if the Chafetz Chaim is plugging.
No, I don't know if he's not plugging. He's not
yeah,
plugging.
Is he plugging it into this Lefichach, which the Mefarshim really have a lot of trouble with? But now I want to offer a second interpretation, which you'll see in Beis on the bottom of page 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rambam is trying to be mechadesh that if a person feels about himself that he cannot study Torah lishma, but rather for some benefit, you know, he wants to get covered, he wants to get rich from it. Again, I don't know how you get rich from studying Torah, that I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
In Eretz Yisrael, one of the highest paid official government offices is Dayanut.
Well,
chief rabbi, let's say, but Dayanut, right. So a person could really kill himself for 10 years and study Dayanut. If he passes his exams, he could be appointed as a Dayan. And he gets the same salary as a judge on an Israeli secular court.
Really?
Yeah, and he can get tenure as well. And it's a great job. It's almost impossible today.
They must be really smart. Right?
Yeah, today, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but it's almost impossible to get what's called a minui for a Dayan. My Mechutin worked for years and years. He has a kol in Choshe Mishpat. And he's a great Talmud Chacham. His son is married to my daughter. And yet he can't get a Dayanus. It's very difficult to get appointed as a Dayan today in Eretz Yisrael. But let's assume if you turn the clock back 20 years, a lot of guys coming out of yeshiva would hope and aspire to prepare for Dayanut and get accepted and get an appointment. And that was, you know, that guaranteed them financial security for life.
Wow.
Again, you wouldn't be a wealthy guy, but you'd be in the upper echelon of Israeli salaries because you're a government judge, so to speak.
Right.
Now, such a person is studying Shalom Lishma for the purpose of Lehit Asher. Again, Lehit Asher literally means to become rich.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to be the next, millionaire.
Another classic example would be if you take a chair of Jewish studies at a good, you know, Ivy League university.
Okay. So maybe your Torah study was for the sake of getting that chair, and that chair will give you financial stability. However, the Rambam says, Li'olam Yasok Odom B'Torah Fil Shalom Lishma. Even though a person really is prohibited, he's enjoined from studying Torah for the sake of Hanah, as we'll soon see, based on the Gemara in Brachos, Kol Ha'oseh Shalom Lishma Noach Lo Shalom Nivra. That's a very harsh language that's being hurled in the direction of someone who's motivated by his own personal benefits through the study of Torah. He should rather have not been born. That's how bad it is. Afal Pichein, despite it all, Li'olam Yasok Onim B'Torah Afil Shalom Lishma. And I think you'll find a hint to this pshat in Tosis and Brachos. Let's read the Tosis. V'im Tomar Ha'omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav. How could the Gemara say that if you learn Shalom Lishma, Noach Lo Shalom Nivra, but Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav in Pesachim, and here we go on to page 3, we olam yasok on the Torah mitzvah fil shalom lishma should be told shalom lishma bo lishma. So on the one hand you're telling me it's a terrible thing that he learned shalom lishma, on the other hand you're encouraging him to learn lishma.
No.
How do we reconcile the two? And Tosis gives the following answer. He says yeshlom adahache here in Brachos, where the Gemara throws the book at him and he said noach lo shalom nivra because he's studying shalom lishma. Myri says Tosis the case is shalom eno lomid el lekanter chaverov. He's going to use the Torah to somehow lord it over his friends, to needle them. Whereas in Pesachim Myri shalom in al menashi chabduhu, he would like to gain the kavod that's due to a Torah scholar. So you see something very important in this Tosis. a person who's learning for the sake of kavod, the Tosis still applies to such a person the principle of li'olam yasok adam shalolushma. He should dedicate himself to the Torah study. It's only in the worst case scenario of almanas lekanter, that's a negative kind of Torah, where he's using the Torah to trample on the heads of others. That's something that should be avoided at all costs. Mm-hmm. And if you take a careful look at the Rambam later on in this perek, in Halacha Yud, and this is the Ram that I was intimating before, Asur lehenos midivrei Torah b'olam hazeh. You know, one who studies for the sake of wealth or financial stability, he violates an Iser. He's having anah from Torah. That he's not allowed to do. Amru chachamim kol anena midivrei Torah natal chayav mina olam. And here's where the Rambam uses very harsh language against someone who's benefiting from the Torah. The Od, Tzivu V'Amru, the Chacham commanded us and they told us, Lo sa'asem atorah lisgadol bahem. You shouldn't use the Torah as a crown to uplift yourself, upgrade yourself. V'lo kardum lachbar bahem. And you shouldn't use it as a shovel to dig with them. In other words, for your own personal benefits. And the Kesef Mishnah says that you're not allowed to learn for the purpose of covet or for the purpose of mama. So once again, how do you reconcile the two Rambams? Here the Rambam says he should learn Shalol Lishva. There the Rambam says you're not allowed to learn for the purpose of covet or mama in the way the Kesef Mishnah understands it. How do you reconcile those two statements? So the answer, I believe, is that the Rambam is teaching us here in Perek Gimel Halacha Hey that even though he's learning for the purpose of kavod or for the gain of financial stability, nevertheless, he should learn Torah. Why? Because that's the lesser of evils. The alternative is a lot worse. If he doesn't learn at all, he's going to be chayiv in din. Because tchilas dino shal adam ain't al talmud. And why is tchilas dino shal adam al talmud? Because all the other excuses and self-defense arguments are all based on the fact that he's an ignorant person, he doesn't know. So we're going to start off the bat and say, what do you mean you're ignorant, you don't know? Why didn't you learn? That's going to be the first judgment, the first prosecution against him. Therefore, better that you learn Shalol Lishma, which is not permissible, than not learning at all, because then, if you don't learn at all, you'll end up in a situation where you violate all sorts of Avera. So we'd rather if you learn Shalol Lishma, which is a lesser Avera, so I call it an Avera Kala relatively, then violate all the Averas in the Torah because you don't know, that's called an Avera Chamura. So it's the lesser of two evils. Yeah, but then you'll ask me what the Rambam says, Mitov Shalol Lishma Bo Lishma. I mean, that sounds like he's encouraging this kind of learning, which makes sense according to our first pshat, but not according to our second. So the answer, I believe, is that the Rambam's intention here is to prove that even Limud Shalol Lishma is not really a severe Avera, because if you don't agree with me, if you postulate that learning Shalol Lishma is such a severe Avera, then how could we possibly say Mito Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma? In other words, you start with X, which is Limud Shalol Lishma, and it's going to lead you to a great benefit, to the great experience of Limud Lishma. How can you say such a thing? We never find that if you do an Avera, a serious violation, that that's going to lead you to something good. No good comes from an Avera. So the answer is, from the fact that Chazal say that something good will come out of this low madrig of Limud Shalol Lishma, it proves that Limud Shalol Lishma, even though it's not right, it's not acceptable, but nevertheless, it's not an Avera Chamura. It's not a terrible thing that we should discourage.
I'm still struggling. You know, there's a lot of contradictions here with it not being not acceptable or not ideal.
So again, according to the first shot, the way we said it, it's not ideal, but it's definitely acceptable.
Right.
It's not the derech haruya based on the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva to serve Hashem, but nevertheless, on the other hand, it's not an avera. It's not a terrible thing. It's lacking in the ideal level. According to the second shot, we're really saying it's the lesser of two evils, but it is a negative kind of thing. So that's in the next paragraph, I think, Gerald. You'll see the nafkamina between our two approaches.
There's something that doesn't sit right with that. I mean,
wait. Let's just see this paragraph picture, and then we could rip it apart. In the next paragraph, the nafkamina between the two approaches to the Rambam would be the case of L'Shem Kavod or L'Shem Mama. According to our first interpretation, based on the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva that we discussed. Ein kavonas haramam el b'miskavin li natzel min haperonios al menas l'kabel pras di ein roi labras Hashem miyira el miyavo b'limit shalol l'shma machas yira p'shita de mitzvah isbe v'les be yisura kla al kahai gavna marova k'siv ki godol ad shamayim chazdecha ma she'en ken alomid l'shem kovar l'shem mamon di amrinan bey lo saseim atorla ele was gadol bem lakarbon lachbar bem kol anenemi di reto notel chai ben olam who limud di osur is lo itiru klal heich nomar di mitoch limud kazeh yizke lilmod lishmo. Again, we're in the middle of a paragraph, even though on your page it appears as two, but it's really one paragraph. Let's just summarize the first half of the paragraph, and that goes back to the first pshat. The first pshat, which as I said at the outset, is very much impacted by the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, is the Rambam talks about a person who's motivated to study Torah and to do mitzvahs in order to gain Olam Haba, in order to protect himself from the loss of Olam Hazeh and all the punishments thereof. The Rambam says that's not roi, that's not the way you should go. And within this context, the Rambam encourages you to gain lishma by starting shalom lishma. What would be though, if it's not that you're studying Torah or doing mitzvos because you want to get to Olam Haba, you want to get the prize, you want to get the schar, the benefits, but rather you're doing it because you want to get something out of the Torah, some direct benefit from the Torah study in this world, you want to get kavod, you want to get mamon, that doesn't seem to be acceptable at all from the perspective of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. However, let's go to the second part of this paragraph. Ma she'enkin l'pirush basu, according to that second pshat, that the Rambam holds shalom lishma, and he doesn't distinguish between what kind of shalom lishma, and therefore the Rambam shalom lishma includes not just someone who's afraid of punishment if he doesn't study Torah, but it also includes someone who's motivated to study Torah for the purpose of achieving kavod or mamon, some benefit. And nevertheless, even in that case, the Rambam applies the principle of mitoch shalom lishma bolishma. Okay, then, so we have two different interpretations and approaches to the Rambam. Gerald, you wanted to ask something before?
No, we're okay.
You're okay?
Yeah.
So let's see if we can push a little bit further, and we'll complete the shiur with the next paragraph. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva says the following. Amru chachomer rishonim shema tomer areni lomei Torah b'shvil she'eya ashir or b'shvil she'kari rebi b'shvil she'kabal schar b'olam haba talmud lomer lava sashem el elokecha kol ma she'atem osim lo tasu el mi'ava. Now here the Rambam mentions limud l'shem mamon and l'shem kavod. However, in the next halacha there, perek yud halacha hey in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, "Kol ha'osek b'Torah kedei l'kabel schar," meaning to be rewarded by Almighty God, "O kedei shelo tagia olav peronus," so that he should be protected from the punishment of bittul Torah. Hareze osek shelo lishma v'yamru chacham v'yom yasel kodem b'Torah filu shelo lishma mitok shelo lishma v'lishma. The Rambam drops the ball on a person who's studying l'shem mamon and l'shem kavod, which he mentioned in the previous halacha. So why is it that in halacha dalid the Rambam mentions lima l'shem mamon l'shem kavod, and halacha hey he leaves it out? And the answer would seem to be that with that in halacha hey the Rambam wants to present the thesis of li'olam yasok adam b'torah, even if it's shalom l'shma. He doesn't want to include that and extend that principle to apply to the case of a lomid l'shem mamon or l'shem kavod. And this would support our first interpretation of the Rambam and contradict our second. So let's just reiterate what we're saying over here. There are two levels of shalom lishma, two categories of shalom lishma, and they are fundamentally different one from the other. In the case of shalom lishma, because he wants to gain olam haba, or he wants to protect himself from punishment, divine punishment, that's shalom lishma, because he's doing it machas yira and not machas ahava. But nevertheless, that is a limud Torah that's certainly to be encouraged, that has a positive element to it. Then there's another category of shelo lishma. This is not this is not only lacking in mi'ava and it drops down to mi'ira, this is because of his own personal selfish benefits. He wants to achieve certain goals which he can achieve through the study of Torah, as strange as that sounds. Kavod, mamon. That's already, according to the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, if I think we're reading it correctly, meticulously, that's a negative kind of shelo lishma. That's a shelo lishma that should be discouraged. When the Rambam speaks about li'olam yasok adam b'Torah lishma, shelo lishma, he's specifically honing in on someone who's learning kedei lekabel schar or kedei shelo tiyah lav paradius. The Rambam completely omits the case that he mentioned himself in the previous halacha of lomed l'shem mamon l'shem kavod. And that's going to be a question on our second shot, because according to our second interpretation of the Rambam doesn't differentiate between one category of shelo lishma and the other. He has this sweeping general statement that includes all kinds of shelo lishma, that li'olam yasok adam shelo lishma. And the answer is because, as we said before, it's the lesser of all evils. When he learns l'shem kavod, l'shem mamon, that's not a good thing at all. But it's better than the alternative, which is not to study Torah at all, and then Tchilas Bino Shalom, the guy is going to be there, stuck there with total embarrassment and humiliation for all the averus that he did, and his claim that he was a shkoga, that he was an omer mutter, that he was ignorant, he didn't know, those claims are going to be completely rejected in light of the fact that he didn't study Torah. So study L'shem Mamon, study L'shem Kavod, protect yourself from the din in Olam Haba, Lachamev Yesrim. Why? Because the alternative is worse. Truth be told, even if you accept the first interpretation of the Rambam, there is still something difficult. Again, let's go back to read the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah in Perek Yud Aleph Dalet one more time. The Rambam says that if a person learns Torah in order to be rich, or in order to be given the honor and the dignity of being calling a Rebbe, the Rambam says that's not a good thing, because it's not mi'ava, but the Rambam doesn't use any harsh, negative terminology. And therefore, even according to the first pshat, that there's no dinah mitol shelo lishma in the case of limud l'shem mamon l'shem kavod, because that's a negative kind of limud, the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Dalet Milchus Shuvah doesn't seem to indicate that that's a negative thing. But one last question I want to leave you with is, the Rambam quotes the halach of li'olam yasok adam b'Torah afilu shelo lishma twice, once here in Hilchos Talmud Torah and once later on in Hilchos Tshuva. The Gemara itself speaks about li'olam yasok adam b'Torah uve mitzvos afilu shelo lishma. The Rambam completely drops mitzvos. So in two places the Rambam has repeated this principle, and in both he's applied it only to Torah and limited it when the Gemara applies it to mitzvahs as well. And that's a difficult question on the Rambam. So Bli Neder, we'll try to come back to this and see if we can put this together again last time. But now's a good time to raise any questions on this limud that we had so far.
No, it's good.
No questions whatsoever.
I know I'm
no comments.
You're trying to get halachic proofs for a philosophical question, because it is a philosophical.
Well, it's a practical question too.
It's
because,
a practical question, yeah, but it's practical. Based on, to me, there's the type of way you look at it is, I look at it through philosophical. What is it going to benefit the Jewish people, rather than trying to darshan it from psukim? I find it a little hard to darshan these type of things from psukim.
But what do you mean? I'm not sure if I understand, Joe, what you mean by philosophical. I mean, I'm
how should one spend one's life? How is one?
Why is that philosophical? I think that's a very halachic issue. Maybe even more halachic than how to put on tefillin, or whether wrap your tefillin this way or that way. How to spend your life.
It is, but you're not going to prove it from psukim. How to spend your life? You're going to.
Why? From my perspective, wearing my halachic thinking cap, we have to answer questions about how to live our lives, and it's got to come from our sources. You could say intuitively what you sense. We call that a bichsvara. It comes from your stomach.
Or you
we need hot.
Or you speak. Right, you speak. What? leader, you speak to a rabbinic
guy. Right, but the rabbinic leaders are going to go back to the sources. I'm not saying that every single person, you know, is a cookie cutter. You know, he's a
right.
You know, he comes out of the, he fits every, you know, you just plug in this Rambam. But on the other hand, you have to have general guidelines. So it's, to really guide someone in a practical sense, especially about these issues that are so heavy, that are going to determine chas v'shalom whether you suffer in the next world or you make it through the judgment, we have to be guided by two elements. One element of the sources that give us the general guidelines, and the second element is, what about this individual? Right. Where do you plug him in? How bad is his lishma? How far can we see into his nefesh that down the line,
right,
he'll come around? He's got a positive perspective, he's got goals, and admittedly his goals are to come to the highest level of Torah study.
Now, I was just going to say, there seems to be tremendous variance among even Gedolim. No?
What do you mean? In terms of Shema?
Yeah, but no, not so much in terms of Shema, but what we were saying before. But the Rambam himself, right, was a doctor, and he was doing all that other stuff. He wasn't dedicating 100% of his time to learning, obviously, or how did he attain...
No, so again, that comes back to what Gerald was talking about before, and I gave the mashal of Abaye, who integrated both Torah and Chesed into his life, and that's a good thing. But again, within the purviews, where do you want to put the...
So there should be general,
you know, the balance could go this way or that.
Yeah,
so the general guideline is that if you're a Torah Lishma guy, you know, if you can reach that level...
Yeah.
You know, look, I've one son who's particularly motivated. He leaves early in the morning, comes late at night. He is totally dedicated to the study of Torah. You know, that kind of person fits into the category of Lishma.
Right.
I don't even think we have to discuss these issues about whether he should dedicate himself to other things. He is pure love of Torah, and that's Lishma.
But eventually, if he's married and has a family, he's going to worry about that too. I mean, you have to...
Right, so that's why he marries a tzaddikas who tries to encourage him and sends him off with a couple of sandwiches in the morning and knows she won't see him till 10 o'clock at night.
I'm not trying to say your particular case, but there's... You know, there's rules of life. You know, there one has to wonder how to live one's life in balance. There's a lot of balance.
Good. I'm not denying all that. We're not here to solve all the problems of halacha in one shot. But what we are here to do is to try to define a situation in which you're learning Torah on what I would call the lower echelon level, mainly shalom lishma, and do we encourage such a person to put his eggs, you know, his energies into that basket of learning Torah, even though it's shalom lishma? And I think the Rambam is formulating a very important halachic principle that mitoch shalom lishma bo lishma. The halacha is built, is predicated on this assumption. It's almost like a chazaka. It's almost like built into nature that start learning Torah shalom lishma. Eventually, you'll love it. Now, I always say to my talmidim, where do you want to put your emphasis? You know, some guys say they don't like Gemara. Okay, I have issues with that because I think they're not being totally honest with themselves because maybe they never had the right rebbeim, whatever. Other guys say, look, I love halacha, I love learning Mishnah Berurah, Tanakh turns me on. There are a myriad of different possibilities. I know people who love learning Mishnayos. They love it. That's Torah Lishma. You're in that category. That's Torah Lishma. So I say Chanoch Lenaro Pidar Ko. We can't make any uniform, universal rules about where you should study, what you should study. But the goal is one and the same for all of us, that we should crave Torah, that we should love Torah. For that, we have to strive for this ideal of Torah.
Yeah. There's another thing. One of the things I do like here, because now that I'm thinking of it and struggling with some of the things, turning, you know, saying that it's a bad thing for the basis of shalom lishma, maybe that's the right thing to do, because the basis, the worst of the shalom lishma, is actually damaging.
Correct. It's, and if it's damaging, we should discourage.
You're really doing it for, you know, just for covet, and it's becoming coarse and gross. That type of person should be...
That's right. You know, as far as Talmud Torah is concerned, maybe we should push him aside, because who knows where this is going to lead.
Yeah, so there's it's a balance. But I mean,
and that's why I say there are two interpretations. Yeah. You know, if we're influenced by the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva, I think we want to exclude limud l'shem kavod, limud l'shem...
That depends on the type of kavod either. I mean, a little bit of kavod, and that's, you know, that's a normal human thing. But, you know, there's again, I'm thinking of the most extreme.
No, in the most extreme case, the guy will admit to you. Again, in this case, that if you don't guarantee him that at the end of the road he's got a big job waiting for him or a big cupboard waiting for him, you know, he's going to be this, then he's not interested. You know, he's rather going to business.
He should be showing
up. I'm not sure if such a person should be encouraged. That depends on how to pay Rush. And we tried to prove from the Raman Hilchos Tshuva that the first Perush is right and not the second.
One of my favorite Gemaras on this, I've even given a shiur on an occasion, is that they opened the doors, you know.
And 400 students.
Who was it, Rabban Gamliel? Used to say only Tocha Kavara, and then he opened the doors and all sorts of halachas were mechadish.
Chris, you have to know what Tocha Kavara is. Maybe we should really talk about Tocha Kavara in this context and see if Tocha Kavara or Ein Tocha Kavara is sort of like Shalol Lishma.
Right.
I'm not sure it's the same, but it sounds a little bit similar. All right, I want to let you go. Okay.